Well, you're not going to believe this, but I've got Peter Spencer himself on the line. G'day, Pete.
Good evening. If I keep asking every now and again, can you hear me? I'm not sure if it's connected. Please forgive me.
Okay, you're doing fine, my friend.
The tower swings. I'm not sure where I'm at.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Yes, you're on air, my friend.
Thank you. I just wanted, first of all, to thank everybody. I don't have a radio, but I hear that there's a lot of support out there, and I just want to say to the people that it needs the people. When the system fails us in a democracy, the people have a right to stand up, and they must remember that those public servants or the leaders that go to Parliament are not there as their aristocratic bosses. We are not peasants. We have freedoms. These people that are there to do under those directions and the rule of law that we put them to work to do. But I just wanted to clear some points up, because a few things have been passed on to me that are not clear, and I wanted to give a little brief background, and at the end of what I've got to say, you'll hear what terrible things are going to happen shortly.
Okay.
You'll see that the real pain is going to come shortly. You'll see the real kick in the guts that's going to happen. And this is what goes on in a civilized society when private property is the secure private property is taken away, other than for reasonable regulatory levels. When they take away our right to private property, civilization falls down. It's one of those cornerstones of the institutions of civilization. Now, I just want to give a little bit of a background. First of all, I was never a Vietnam. I've never been a soldier. I heard somebody say that I may have been. The property is that we have, Saran Lee, is about 20,000 acres. That is partly undulation because we have the largest elevation of any farm in Australia. We have a 2,500-foot elevation, so the rolling hills give us a greater acreage. Now, I just want to say that our first major project, other than Mountain Ash, we have a beautiful stand of Mountain Ash on the property, which we've preserved. And the family's been in the high country since 1830 on my maternal side. The farm was bought in 1980. And we started out with a major wool project because we wanted to try and breed more sheep, less sheep, on the limited land they left us when they took 90% for native vegetation. But we were told by the New South Wales farmers that re-cleared land, land that had been cleared before, which in 1990, when the land was granted, it had to be cleared, other than the Mountain Ash. So we thought we'd be able to clear that, and that was thought by everybody until about 2005 when the regulations came down. So we decided to breed a type of sheep that would give us more income for less outlay. So we bred sheep with the help from CSIRO. David Sackett handled the project from Holmes and Sackett, and Lindsay Brash from CSIRO Select Breeding, and we bred sheep down to 11 microns in the paddock, and we topped the bale of $20,000, and you can check on AWACS, we did out of the high season, we did out of the 5 top bales, Saran Lee got the top 4. That's just, we'll stop that now, but I just wanted to say that was where we were heading with our sheep. It was magnificent, and then contact these people to prove what, $600 some of our sheep were cutting with wool. Now,
wonderful.
Next project was the one I've heard about, was the water and the trout. Magnificent. We designed it. It was perfectly legal. Big pipes under the ground, stopgate valves, concrete spillways. We bred trout there. That agriculture fishery said it was one of the only places trout naturally bred in private waters. Rex Hunt made 3 documentaries, loved it, brought Butte trout up to 14 pounds. That was stopped because the native vegetation, just like the sheep, we couldn't use it. The native vegetation caused interception, which dried all the water catchment. So the riparian zone dried up, and the thickening occurred, and the water dried up, and now we have a puddle hole. Now, on to the wind. We then moved, we thought, oh, we'll try something else. My wife's Danish. Now, top people, investors, and Meg Mikan, the 2 top Danish companies, we had good friends. They came out and said, Peter, you must put the wind. We have the highest range in privately owned in Australia. We did a joint venture with ANZ Infrastructure, put up a massive wind tower, which I'm sitting on now. And what did Howard do? In May 2004, he stopped supporting the Emirates scheme, which took away support for renewable energy, and the native vegetation wouldn't allow us to. We had to go 20 metres higher to get above the vegetation, which made the project unviable. I fought them in court on my own, won the intellectual property rights back and a settlement, which I put towards more money to fight the native vegetation, and then I held the property rights in until Rudd came to power, and they introduced the Emirates scheme again, and we immediately got a developer. And if you Google Shannon's Wind Farm, Shannon's Flat Wind Farm, you'll see that a few months ago they floated $3 million sold out overnight to develop a $200 million project here on this farm. And it's in Google on the Shannon Flat Wind Farm. It's right there. It's a public company developing it. Now, there's other small projects I won't mention. I've sold all my assets to fight the court cases, but nothing left. My wife had to go back to Denmark because she couldn't practice as a pharmacist here. We had to put the children through school. We had no money. I haven't seen them more than 6 weeks in 3.5 years. My Danish friends flew me back once, and the wind developers flew me back once. I've got a car I drive 20 years old that people gave me who were helping us. A family from Zimbabwe put thousands and thousands of dollars into helping me. A woman 80 years old in Jindabyne has put thousands and thousands of dollars. She drives me to the courts on her own while I sleep in the car, because I'm so tired from having prepared for the work. And she's a magnificent, as they all are. People pay my bills. I'm a pauper. I have no money in that sense. I've lost my dignity. I haven't yet provided an income for my family for 7 years. I got bankrupted for not paying my rates, and I had to pay it quickly. I got somebody to loan me $17,000 because under this scheme, it's so insidious, that 109,000 hectares they locked up under this scheme through COAG, which is where it all started. The shires had to pick it up. They refused to adjust for it in their budgets, so they charged those farmers the rates. It's millions and billions of dollars, and under the Section 574 of the Local Government Act, you can't appeal rates. So they've been bankrupting me as well, and I've been fighting it 32 times in court out of those 200 times, and I can't even get a hearing. Now, the mortgage is owed. The mortgagees are owed the money. It's worth $1 million less than what the buildings are worth. And now I'm told next week they're going to auction my farm, and those big developers wanting to develop the wind farm are now going to bid for it, and all the work I've put in... Sorry.
Don't be sorry, Peter.
They're going to... anyway. Just a minute. I just imposed myself. Just a minute. So... I can't get the wind farm developed in under 10 years, so I can't raise the money to pay the mortgage. And they're going to develop it, and they say they'll bid it, and they'll save millions of dollars not having to pay the landowner royalties by getting it and owning it themselves.
When you say
before I go, I just want to thank all those people for tremendous support, and I want to tell them to keep the struggle going, because here's the slide. The tower's going to be disconnected within days, and we don't know when. I've just been advised 2 days ago by our lawyers that the sheriff is going to move on any day now and walk into the house where Alistair and all the others work and kick them out. They're going to take all my possessions, all my family heirlooms, and then they'll try and move because I won't own the land. And if I'm not going to leave, they'll have to drag me. And I just go to Denmark and live with my wonderful family because I've got no home to bring them back to. But this shows you the insidious nature. It's gone through our local governments, our councils. And here I've been so... Every one of my projects, I've had the best experts on it. I've tried every way to even make money around this. I said to them at the park's drought relief, I got up and spoke to the minister, and I said, we don't want your drought relief. Just give us our land back. Stop tying our hands back behind our back. I've tried everything possible to try and survive, even within the limits of the Native Vegetation Act. And I can't even do that. I'm sorry.
Please don't be sorry, Peter.
But what I'm saying is we may go off the air at any moment because we don't know. We've been told any day in the next 14 days they're going to take us out. So I just wanted to warn you of that.
Well, Peter, all I can say is that you've got a lot of people out here supporting you.
I know, but people don't realise, and then when you look at those hundreds of people that have suicided, what do? If I go back and this shed and shoot myself, then what happens then is that nobody knows. The government just thinks, oh, he just died. But I want to sit here as long as I can, so I sit in their face. This injustice, this immorality that's got into our government has got to stop. It's got to be, we've got to get back to a government which understands the rule of law and is there to serve the people.
Peter Spencer. I'm speaking to Peter Spencer, who is up the mast on his property, and it looks like very shortly his property will be taken from him because he's...
Can I just read a very short letter I wrote to Mr. Rudd 18 months ago?
Yes, please.
Do you mind?
Not at all. Please do. The airwaves are yours.
I sent him a copy in the submission. Dear Mr. Prime Minister, the attached letter was sent to your predecessor. Regrettably, no response from him was forthcoming. As said in that letter, I made a mistake voting for him. The lies and arrogance led me for the first time to vote for you. For me as a farmer, to vote for you, a Labour man, was a big move. I have noticed with interest your attempt over the last 100 days to address many issues and source the views of the people. If you can take the time to look into the attached, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Then I would be grateful. I am sure if you read the document, you will be repulsed by its contents, especially as you appear to be a man of principle, and I am certain you would be of the opinion we live under the rule of law, as our Constitution provides. In regard to the substantive matter and the need for due process, I have met with and written today to my local member, Dr. Kelly, predominantly regarding carbon levels being 130%, not 108%, as reported in the past to the UNFCCC, and it is if one removes the carbon deception from Prime Minister Howard's choreographed equation. I have every confidence my local man, Mr. Kelly, will process this with due course and read the Saranlee entreaty. As Prime Minister, I feel you would want to be informed of this matter, as I felt mistakenly the former Prime Minister, would have been desirous of being so informed. In this regard, I was deeply disappointed. I look forward to you being all you have said on the record what you want to be. Now, you as our Prime Minister, I am well aware morality generally has been in short supply for many, many years in politics. And if you, sir, can turn that around, it will not only be most honourable, but the people will be abundantly gracious in their response, and you will have in return their very deep gratitude. To this end, I trust, Prime Minister, you have girded your loins well, as I am sure I have no need to tell you your chosen sojourn will not be an easy ride. I subsequently wholesomely encourage you. I am pleased you are prepared to try. You have my support, and most importantly, my prayers will be with you. I never got a response.
Peter Spencer, I don't have an idea what it is that we can do to help you, but I promise you, there is a groundswell that has come up above the soil to greet you with the support that you need. And you did say originally, keep this going, Australia. Peter Spencer, we wish you all the very best. And if it does happen that you are taken down from your stand, then we will carry this thing on, because I can feel it in your voice, and there's going to be a lot of people are going to ring up from around Australia now to tell us that that's exactly what they feel. From your point of view, we support you with everything.
Just remember, Carter, tell them it can happen to them too.
Yes.
It can happen to them.
Yes.
We must stop it. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you all out there. You're wonderful.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Peter Spencer from on top of his pole.
$4,100.